The last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
And so to the issue of childcare, it is a massive one for those who still have to go to a place of work, particularly healthcare workers who are having great difficulties in organising childcare at a time when they do have to be in our hospitals and other places providing frontline services. And it's going to become more and more of an issue as employers require their employees to come back into the place of work. So we've three guests to talk about it. The day after Catherine Zappone outlined a system which would involve pods of children in various play care centres. We'll look at it from three different angles. So we're going to start, first of all, with a parent who has been looking after her own child at home. Lauren Chute, thank you very much for joining us. Lauren, I'm fascinated by your particular story. Tell us it, please.
So quite typical. We have two parents in the home that are both working, and we started up mid-March in the lockdown, and we had a routine, and you know, we were passing the child back and forth. David would be on a Zoom call. I'd take the child to the park. We were managing between the two of us. We thought okay, and then it just disintegrated really as the weeks passed, and I ended up giving up my job. So I finished at the end of April. It just wasn't sustainable. There's only so long you can fob off a toddler. Her behaviour was just becoming more and more trying, and I just felt the stress of not being a good teammate, you know, with my work colleagues, and not being a good parent. It just wasn't sustainable. So I had to give up my job.
That's tough, and that's a big hit financially, is it?
Yeah, I mean, like we can manage. We're in a very privileged position to be able to do that on one income. And of course, now that we're not paying for childcare, it's not as tough as it would be otherwise.
But what about giving up your job as well? I mean, that's your career. Is this a temporary thing as far as you're concerned? Or would you fear now that this could impact on your long-term career?
I hope that it's temporary. Right now I'm finding that the way that I'm coping with all of this is to just take one day at a time and not to worry too much, because you know, there isn't really any kind of schedule for when childcare will be up and running again. So it's not like I can say to my work, oh, well, if you give me a month or 2 months, then, you know, I'll come back and I'll be able to catch up. I just didn't feel like I was in that position to be able to say, oh, well, definitely creches will be open in September. I just don't know if they will be. And if they are open, will it just be one day a week, or will it just be for essential workers? My job isn't essential. I just felt that I needed to take a step back and be a stay-at-home parent for the time being.
Okay, so what sort of work do you do? And was your employer helpful in trying to allow you to be flexible in doing that work?
Yeah, so there definitely was flexibility, which I found was kind of a double-edged sword, because management were coming back and saying, you know, if you need to switch to a 7-day work week, if you need to work at night, you know, that's totally fine by us. You know, we can be flexible with our deadlines. And I just found that, you know, I was up with my daughter at, you know, 6 a.m. and often she'd be up a couple of times during the night, and then she wasn't going to sleep until 9 o'clock at night because she was so out of her routine, and with, you know, summertime and, you know, longer daylight hours, it was just getting harder and harder to get her to go to sleep at night. So by the time everything was done for the day, I was opening up my laptop and I just had no energy to give to it. And I just felt like it wasn't fair on my teammates, only one of whom has a child, to be like constantly late and constantly asking for other people to pull up the slack. And, you know, maybe that's as a woman, I felt that pressure more. But yeah, it's definitely, I mean, I miss my colleagues, and everyone was very understanding, and they were, you know, they said they would definitely encourage me to come back, you know, at a point in the future. Hopefully they'll still be the business there to come back to.
I'm fascinated by the idea of a 7-day working week. I can see some employers saying, oh yeah, you can do your 35 hours a week over 7 days, 5 hours a day. Not sure that's a great idea. Jane Toolan, you're from a group called Parents for Change. What do you make of Lauren's story? Is that the type of thing you're hearing from many parents?
Oh, absolutely. We're a parents activist group, and we're aiming kind of to represent the voice of parents in society. We found that the COVID crisis has been a complete disaster for parents. Parents have found themselves in a situation where they're simultaneously caring for, educating educating their children in the home, as well as working from home. I think a phrase has been used, it's kind of parenting from the workplace. I think parents are tag-teaming, working really long hours. I've heard of our members, some people getting up at 5 a.m. to, you know, do the first shift from 5 to 9, and then the other parent takes over. And the working day stretches across, so 7 days a week, up till midnight every night. There's a piece around homeschooling as well. Like in our roadmap for recovery, we've 1.2 million children not been included in this recovery plan, and parents are frustrated. It's assumed that children will, childcare will be managed at home privately, and we feel invisible and we're exhausted and fed up.
I know, Jane, there are going to be listeners who are going to be texting in saying, if you decide to have children, it's your responsibility to look after them, and it's not up to the state to do it for you. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I know that's the type of thing that a lot of our listeners say.
We're in a global pandemic. All the normal supports aren't there. A lot in Ireland, childcare, grandparents, extended family members support families with childcare. That's completely been taken out of the equation. I think in this phase one of our roadmap to recovery, we've missed an opportunity to increase the household kind of bubble to include family members to be able to help with childcare. We should be looking at, you know, paid parental leave for parents, whatever, maybe a day a week for parents, looking maybe for 2 days a week for single parents, and they could maybe use those hours flexibly over the week to be able to manage, to mind their children. It's a huge ask on parents to be able to deliver 35 to 37 to 40 hours work a week on top of simultaneously caring for their children.
And Jane Toolan, if the schools don't go back in September on a normal basis, if they go back on a reduced basis, how much hassle is that going to cause parents when it comes to getting to their workplaces?
Once again, it'll be huge. It'll be huge hassle for parents. I mean, Parents for Change, we are advocating that maybe schools go back on a trial basis in before the close for summer in June. We think that maybe it's an opportunity for maybe for 2 weeks, trial it. It could be, a pilot that we can learn from these 2 weeks that how things are going to work in September, and it might mean that things run more smoothly in September. So that's a big point request we're asking for.
Okay, Karen Clintz is with us as well from Tigers Childcare. You're a creche, you're a childcare provider. What do you think of Catherine Zappone's ideas of pods for playmates of children, regular hand washing, special drop-off points for the parents? Are they all going to work?
I think it's a step in the right direction that we are starting to have some clarity and some plans, but there's a lot to be hashed out. I mean, if you're talking about pod systems where only one person is minding the group of children, what about those breaks? What if they need to go to the bathroom? You know, what if someone calls in sick and you're introducing someone else into the pods? I think pods in themselves are something that we need to look at, but I don't think it's for children. We need to make our centres as safe as possible for children to go in the door and act as normally as possible. It's so important for them, for the social and emotional development, that everything remains the same. And we now know that all the research is showing that children actually aren't the big carriers, the big spreaders of this disease. So when we think of pods, and we're looking at pods as a company, we're looking at the adults actually socially distancing, so making sure that adults are trying to remain 2 metres away from each other, but actually that the children can play as normal.
And but then, Karen, you also have a situation, where you would have an awful lot of parents need childcare 5 days a week. Will you be able to provide it 5 days a week? And if you're not able to do it 5 days a week, how are you going to be able to align the pods of children with maybe the flexible working arrangements of their parents?
We're seeing that as almost impossible at the moment. I mean, we have full day care services and we cater for over 1,200 children, all of which are nearly full day. So how are we going to decide which children come or which adults come into the centre, which staff or colleagues we should be paying to come back to work? It's almost an impossible task for us to do. So we just don't see it working. We think there needs to be a more out-of-the-box approach. What is the reason that we're not opening? The reason that we're not opening is because people are worried about the spread of this disease. So how do we make the centre safe that there is really very low risk of spread within the centres, and that's what we need to be looking at, rather than limiting numbers. Or limit, you know, it's looking at actually health and safety and cross-contamination within the centres.
Will it be financially viable for creches to reopen with these particular structures in place?
No, it really won't. For many services, you know, we're quite lucky in the fact that we are multiple, we're a large service. Many small services are really struggling, and even with the 100% funding of colleagues, say, it doesn't actually fund manage owner managers. It doesn't fund a lot of the auxiliary that still need to be paid, and so people are running like at a loss at the moment. They're certainly not being covered. If they were to open a smaller capacity without the state backing that up with funding, they won't be sustainable. I mean, we have a number of services that actually haven't signed up to the pay deal, which means we're wondering, are they coming back at all?
Is there any way, do you think, of sorting this out in advance of a vaccine being available?
I think it looks like a vaccine is a long way off, so we have to look at ways of solving this. We've looked at, you know, as a company, as a three-pronged approach. So we're looking at how to keep the centres themselves safe and making sure that there's no COVID within the building, and how to keep our colleagues safe, and then how to keep the children safe. And we think where you have strict policy and procedure, where you have good hand washing, where you have sanitisation when you come through the door, I think, yes, we have to limit the adults that are into the building. We would have had an open door policy, and we very much encourage our parents to be on site. That is going to have to stop for a while. I don't think drop-offs in cars is probably the answer. But I certainly think being able to let the children that are happy to come in on their own, come in on their own. However, you're going to have rooms where distressed children are able to be brought in and settled by an adult and those in prior to going into their workroom.
Okay.
And we have to remember here, we want children to develop in a normal fashion.
Just to finish out, Lauren Tute, I'm going to go back to you, because it does strike me that many parents will have a necessity to go back to work and they want a childcare facility for their children to go to. But in the absence of a vaccine and given the fears, do you think would you or other parents be happy to leave a child go into a creche and also to go into one which maybe restricts the access to other children?
Well, I've seen those photos coming out of places like France where children are playing in these chalked boxes and they're not allowed to interact with each other and there's screens between them. And, you know, it really saddened me to see those pictures. And, I mean, with toddlers, there's just no way of maintaining that. I think it's really crucial for her. I'll be honest, we've extended our own household to include another household with a child the same age as Margot, so that, you know, a couple of mornings a week, I'm taking their child and Margot's going to them a couple of mornings a week. So there is some level of social interaction, and we feel like that's manageable rather than, you know, meeting up with four different people every day, which we're allowed to do under the phase one restrictions. So I think, like, of course, introducing some level of sociability is just so important for their development, for their mood, for their sleeping, for their language acquisition, that, you know, I'm going to take what's available to us, whether it's, you know, going to a creche where there are some restrictions imposed to keep the children healthy, or, you know, managing it with other households, because it's just not realistic or sustainable to keep children out of society and in their homes indefinitely.
Thank you very much, Lauren Tute, Jane Toolan from Parents for Change, and Karen Clintz from Tigers Childcare.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.